you know, just coming in, we had a lot of issues to fix. And so that has been, I think, inside our walls, we're doing really well. And because there's a lot of morale and a lot of culture that need to be fixed. And so, and that takes a long time, a lot longer than I thought it would. But I think we're going in the right direction, and we've got a lot of people that, you know, I think at this day and age in policing, if you're in law enforcement, it's because you want to be in law enforcement.
I think so.
Yeah, because, you know, things have changed. So, you know, I've been in it over 28 years now, and it is just the ebbs and flows of when I first started, people trusted the police, you know, on the most part. And then it kind of gradually over time turned into, well, now you go to court, you got to have it recorded. You know, you got to have body cam and stuff. And then even, especially around 2020, even if you have all that, people still don't believe you, you know. And so it's, but I think it's coming back around, because I remember in 2020 when all the George Floyd stuff happened, it really felt like society turned their back on law enforcement. And that's just for me speaking, but I think for others. And but then it's kind of eased up, and, you know, it's like society's moved on to something else.
Well, you know, I want to talk about that because yeah, I think if I would have been, and I had somebody in law enforcement about that time, mm-hmm. and he felt the same way. But and I look at it and say, okay, if you're from the wrong side of the track, so to speak, and what you do is always going to have you in touch with law enforcement, you're going to have that mentality anyway. And then we saw a couple of bad acts that, and nobody can deny those were bad acts. Right. They shouldn't have happened. But there's a good thing in here. Mm-hmm. If people turn their back on you, but then things start to deteriorate in your community, you start to appreciate maybe what you had before. You see that at all?
You know, I think, and I definitely the silent majority supports law enforcement.
Oh, I would think.
I think so. And I think, too, it's usually the silent majority. They've got other stuff going on in their life, so they're not on Facebook. They're not on all this stuff. They've got other things going on. And so, you know, and I saw in 2020 in different cops that I worked with, you either had the mentality of, okay, everybody turned their back on us, then all I can trust is other cops, which that's a bad thing to get into.
Yes. 'Cause
then you almost become an opposing force to citizens.
Yes.
I felt that for a little bit, and I was like, oh, man, I can't do this. And so instead of that, luckily where I came from, we had a chief of police that he wouldn't speak to people hardly. And so people would come in wanting to talk about race and stuff, especially at that time. And these were good families, and there are a lot of minority families. They had come in, and so I was over patrol, and so they got funneled to me. And it really opened my eyes, because there's good people out there, but they're fearful of the police, you know. And so I sat down with many, and like I said, they're mainly minority families, and they're like, we fear you. And I'm like, man, I've worked too hard all over my career to do what's right for you to sit and just fear me just by seeing me. And so we kind of talked through some of that stuff. And it may be that, hey, I'm from Tennessee, and those cops treated me rough. And so they kind of lump us all together. And the way I always try to understand it, because as a cop, you can go, oh, well, that's not a very intelligent way of thinking, because you're lumping us all together, which, you know, when it comes to race, everybody says that's what we do as cops, you know. But the way I look at it is like, so if I grew up across the street from the Joneses were mean to me as a kid, and then they have another generation of kids, and my kids, am I going to urge my kids to go play with the Joneses? No, not until things are made right, and there's some kind of relationship form. So coming out of 2020, that's what changed me, is like, I need to do better to understand other people's perspectives, because I know not everybody thinks like I do, and they feel the way I do. So it's okay if you fear me, but let's fix that. Let's have a conversation. And I think because I've sat down with many of people in the community I came from and here, and I tell them, I'm like, tell us what we're doing wrong, you know? And that kind of, I think people go, you're different than I expected you to be. And I think, too, some of the divide between citizens and law enforcement is because when we come out of the academy, because you're given a lot of authority, and it can either really go to your head, and you've seen it in cops, it goes to their head, it becomes their identity, or you can use it and not to be a robot. Because, you know, you don't want me to just come, just the facts, that kind of stuff. You want me to be personable, and that's what makes you, because we're all the same. We all are the same. We make the same mistakes as everybody out there. We just have a different job. That's the only difference between us.
And you want to go home at night.
100%.
You want to go home to your family. Yes. You don't want to bring that work home. I think a lot of it is because far and by far, the vast majority of people never really have encounters with the police department. I mean, if you have an encounter with a policeman, it's probably because either you've been speeding or you've had a traffic right. violation, or you may have just had one of the worst days of your life. You know, it's right. funny when I'm driving down the street and I see a police car, it's like, oh, crap. I don't want to see that guy. I don't want him turning around. I don't want those lights coming on. But if there's somebody trying to break into my house, the first thing I want is to see your uniform show right. up. I mean, now I feel like I've got somebody who can help. So you see the same person in two different ways.
Right, 100%. You know, and that's what's funny about law enforcement. Like you said, there are people that they may dislike us for whatever reason. But regardless, someone's breaking into that person's house, we're going to go and officers are going to put their life on the line.
You're the first one.
And that's in this community and every community. And two, I always tell people, we're just like McDonald's. We get some people that we employ that probably should never have been cops. You know, we've got a history of that here. We got a history of that in any law enforcement agency.
Right.
People get in that shouldn't be cops.
Name that department that's perfect.
Exactly.
And you're great. You said you had a lot to clean up. You talked about a chief of police, and you were in Edmond.
Yes.
And Edmond, you say, had a chief of police that really didn't like the public speaking part of it. We go a couple of chiefs back. We had a chief who for a long time was just not comfortable as a person being out there in front. And so there was kind of a mysticism about right. him and the department. I can't say that necessarily about the chief prior to you. I knew him a little bit, but I'm just going to say it like this. Dysfunction kind of continued to run within the department, it seemed like. Now, you come on board, high turnover job. Mm-hmm. You come on board at a time where you're coming off of people just don't like police. And now I look at a department that probably needs a rethinking of how we interact with the community and each other.
Right.
Why in the heck did you take the job?
You know, it's funny. So where I came from, my originally intended to, I'm going to retire from here. And like I said, there's no perfect police department. There's things I saw, the way we were treating people internally, that I didn't like.
Yeah, but let's be honest. Mm-hmm. Edmond's a really cool community.
It is.
I mean, I could retire there.
No, it's an affluent community.
Yeah, no doubt.
I've told people, you know, because people be here, they're like, oh, you know, because they ask me, do you know this person or this family here? And which is nice from not being from here. I don't know anybody.
Yeah, the only problem you had is you're too close to Norman because, yeah, come on.
Yeah. And so, you know, I was like, I came from a town where, like you, I worked with people or worked around people that own stock in they own the Thunder.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
stuff. And I said, so I've seen some people with some real money, you know, and stuff. But, you know, I'm a small town kid, so that stuff's never really just impressed me, you know. And the thing about law enforcement, I don't care where you're at, it's not political. It shouldn't be, because I don't care who's in power, we're going to treat you, if you live on the north end, the same, if you live on the hill, you know, and that's the way it's supposed to be. But that gets twisted a lot in a lot of communities, and they feel like, oh, I've got to treat this person different because they can, what they can do for me or whatever. That's not the way I look at policing.
Is it different in a smaller community than a larger community? Do you see a difference in which one is easier to maintain that objectivity?
You know, where I came from, we were heavily supported. It was like, if you were the person saying negative stuff about the PD, there was seemed like 100 people that would jump on you going, oh, no. You know, here, a little different. I think you get a smaller community, and so everybody knows everybody. And we've probably interacted with, you know, percentage-wise, more people.
Sure.
Here. And so I think that changes the dynamic, you know.
Good or bad?
I think I think the people that want to be negative, they're the louder ones, you know.
Oh, sure.
And so you hear that, sure. And it's the same people over and over. And like I said, Facebook, you know, is the social media type stuff.
But I mean, I'm going to put a percentage to it. I would venture to guess that if you took the entire amount of people you deal with in, say, a 90-day period, it's not going to amount to more than 2 or 3% of the population, but it's the same people over right. and over and over again. A lot of recidivism and a lot of, I guess they used to call them frequent flyers, but it's right. people that, and those people have a loud voice.
Right. No, they do. And, you know, when people it's one of those deals. It's probably, and they will always have that attitude until we have to go and maybe save their life or something like that. And sometimes that may not happen. You know, it's just like when I came in as a chief, I can come and you can give all the campaign speeches you want. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. Until I do something and it's organic for you specifically, you're not going to trust me. And so luckily it's happened enough where people have seen me be consistent with the way we discipline, the way we treat people, and it's fair across the board. There's no favoritism. That now, you know, people are going, oh, okay, no, he is what he says. You talk about some chiefs. So I'm by nature, I'm a quiet person. And, like, if I've got nothing to say, because I don't have respect for people, like, if you got nothing to say but you're just still flapping your gums, I'm like, oh, my gosh, who, you know, who's this person? But if I got something to say, I'm going to say it hot. I like that saying. So, you know, I think when you save your words and then whenever you say it, when you mean it, it has way more meaning. And it does the same thing with your people. They go, oh, he said something. And
so have you ever heard the criticism, the perception that you're a standoffish person then?
Because
I know that if I have nothing to say to you, I'm probably not going to talk to you too much. I don't do a lot of patting on the back as a boss in a business, and sometimes I think that's a problem too.
Right. You know, I think that can happen, and because I think you know how much I respect what you do and stuff, and so because I came from the mindset, just go let me do my work, and if you don't talk to me, that's what I want.
Exactly. You know?
And so I can get caught up in that sometimes where I'm not going around and probably saying hi. You know, that's the thing I've told people. I'm not much into small talk, but I'm much into, like, the important conversations. And I've had family conversations with officers. You get to know that they may have a family member struggling with mental health stuff. We talk about that because I've had that in my family. You know, I've gone through a divorce, you know, and cops and divorce, that happens. And so, you know, I've talked to some officers through that kind of stuff. And so I think those people go away going, oh, wow, man, up to this point, yeah, he hadn't asked me about the weather, but, man, he asked me about how my custody battle's going on and that kind of stuff. I like having those real conversations.
No doubt.
When I have those are the reason I do this job.
Hey, when we come back, I want to talk about staffing. I want to talk about the current makeup of the department, because you made a comment coming into the broadcast. We're a much younger department probably than previously. There's been a lot of turnover in upper management, and that wasn't for any other reason than retirement age and moving on in many cases. I want to talk about that and talk about your relationship not only with the community but recently with the media.
Sure.
Love to hear it. Okay, 8:32 at KSAL. Coming right back on The Extra. 8:35 News Radio, 1150 KSAL AM, 106.7 FM. Jeff and Bob, it's the extra, extra special guest, Selena, Chief of Police, CJ Wise.
Extra tired Monday. Partied too hard last night.
Yeah, I know. There was a lot of excitement. We'll get to that.
With my glass of Mountain Dew.
Lots to get. Hey, setting the record straight on media police relations. That's one thing we want to touch on. Co-responders.
Right.
We were blessed to have them in studio with us.
Very
sharp.
How long
has that program been running? It's interesting.
So it got up and running. It started before I got here, and then it got up and running that year I got here in 23. And so we started kind of figuring out what we, you know, because that's the big thing, you know, when you're a community our size, a lot of times people go, well, Wichita does this or Topeka does that. We wanted to try to make it fit us. And so, you know, we're figuring that out. But, you know, our co-responders are amazing. And so really, you know, what they do, so they're in our building, and they'll go out on calls that, you know, are retired to mental health, which is about, I don't know what the percentage, it's a lot, you know.
It's a high percentage.
It is, you know, it's, I don't want to use the word it's crazy, but it's just weird how, and I think too, the stigma of mental health has gone away some, because, you know, when I was a kid or younger, even as a cop, you know, that used to be the big thing. Is like, if you reached out and you talked to a counselor, oh my gosh, you're going to lose your badge. And then now you're like, no, you're probably the healthiest person out there.
Sure. If
you're getting, because we all have, like I said, we're the same. We just have different jobs.
But you have to bottle up a lot of stuff that most people don't have to bottle up.
No, you do. You know, you see, I remember when I was a brand new cop, my brother used to call him, hey, what cool thing happened? And there'd be like, oh, I saw a dead body. I saw this. I got in a police chase. And then it's weird, over a year, like you call you, oh, nothing. It was the same stuff happening, but that becomes your norm, you know?
Yeah.
And at some point you kind of hit, you go, because you may see a brand new officer see, you know, a homicide scene and they're kind of, you know,
processing.
Yeah, processing, and they're kind of shell-shocked. And there's been times where I've gone, man, I don't feel nothing, you know? And so that's a little scary.
That's a funny, you know? Same conversation with my son, the paramedic. And
yeah.
We were at his house one day, and he was off duty, yeah. But he's a supervisor. They get a call. He's just kind of calmly says, you guys show yourself out. I got to run. We don't know. He goes out to a wreck on an interstate. Did the guy survive? Well, no. When we got in there, his body was in a position, no big the way he said it, I'm thinking, oh, my God, you're a robot.
Right.
But the same thing about police.
Yeah.
You get into this, you may have to get into a fight. You may have to get into stopping an argument. You may have to putting yourself in front of somebody, and then you go home. It's like, yeah, nothing happened.
Yeah, you have to kind of shut it off.
I don't know how you do it.
But, I think you got to find an outlet to talk about it, because if not, you know, and I think because the public, you know, when I would train officers, I would tell them, after you, it's the military to restore order.
Yes,
and so
yes.
You have to maintain order. So I think you as the citizens, you want me to be calm, you know, and show up and handle whatever. And so I think as a cop, you don't want to, if you can keep from it, not get emotional. You know, and I've always done that. The only thing is, you know, I've got like 30 kids running around, you know, and I've got a bunch of little kids, and it's kind of the running joke is I got 30. But that's what tears me up. I've gone on calls where, you know, a baby death or a little kid almost drowned, and man, I could see my kid. And so I had to turn away because I was crying,
yeah.
And, you know, and you try to
absolutely.
Get composure, but that too lets you know, hey, I'm still a human being, you know, and stuff. And so it is a battle, but you know, our co-responders is a very good thing because there's people that are dealing stuff that they don't need to be put in the criminal justice system. They need help because, you know, people with mental health stuff, some of the stuff they can't help. They, you know, and the mental health aspect is, it's so tricky. I don't like dealing with it because it's like building a house of cards. You know, you get them help, you get them on their medications, and then something can trigger it and it falls down and you start at ground zero. So our co-responders and our officers that are just passionate about that, I have so much respect for them because it's so hard. And I say this because I had a daughter that struggled with this. You know, we had to go inpatient with her twice. She was suicidal, and that was so hard because in our eyes, we're giving them everything. You got everything. And then finally one day, me and her had this yelling match where she goes, you could take me to Disney World and I'm still depressed. It doesn't matter. And it was as simple as that sounds. That really struck me is going, I really don't understand what it feels like to be depressed. And, you know, we got her help, and she still struggles to this day. But that made me way more empathetic to people, you know, and stuff. And it's a hard battle, so I feel for families. I feel for people that are going through it because I've seen it firsthand.
One of the most difficult situations I feel like the police can run into are domestic violence because it's such a heightened – And now you're interfering in their personal life, and you have to be an authority. Do you ever bring co-respondents along to be able to help talk that down, knowing that you may be going into one of the most volatile situations you can go into?
You know, if it's what I say is a hot, active call, we don't take them to. Because we try to only take them to stuff that is under control. And because, like you said, those things, domestics, you never
you
know.
Just don't know what you're... That's what happened in Southeast Kansas here just recently.
Yes. And so, you know, we tried to, like I said, once things are kind of calmed down, and a lot of times if there's some aspect, you know, and there's resources we give to, like, victims and stuff, like, hey, you know, there's a number we call, and they talk them through some things as far as, like, are you safe and stuff like that. And domestic violence is such a hard thing because it's a cycle, you know. And there's people that out there, and they'll go back to their abuser many times. And once again, I've got another daughter that's going through that kind of stuff. And on the police end, I see it, but I'm empathetic to it because I know, like, I don't know, you've gone back a couple of times, but this is what happens. You can't hold that against them and stuff. And so, but yeah, that is a tricky thing. It's a human thing, though. People, you know, want to forgive, and then they go back, and it's a cycle that just goes on and on and on.
Some people would say there's been a lot of turnover in the Salina Police Department over the past 5 years. Some of that due to retirement. Mm-hmm. People in upper management, upper levels, deciding to hang it up because unlike some jobs, most police officers aren't doing it for 50 years. There's a time when they just have to kind of shut it down and relax a little bit. But sometimes those officers are leaving a department not of their own volition.
Right.
And if they stick around the community, they can become either advocates or not so much advocates for you. Your relationship with the media, at least as far as I've been here 35 years, and it's always been really good, but you had to issue a statement a week or two ago about your relationship with the media and responsibilities. Can you talk about what you face with the media? Because I see it from my perspective. Mm-hmm. I want answers from you if I have questions, and you've got a job to do. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, you know, there's a certain media outlet. We could tell that they just based off we had conversations with them, and we had recorded it, and then what they wanted to attribute, we were saying. And two, they came into the meeting. They had already had their headline written, and it was the final straw, how SPD has eroded the public trust. And the more we talked to them and talked through it, and we had a meeting with other media, the other media was like, no, we don't feel that way. So it really came down to two people at this publication that felt that way. And so, and I told them early on, I'm like, if you can't get quotes right, I'll just release this tape, because let the people decide what's said. Because
sure,
I don't want to sit and explain it to people.
Sure.
And so that's why we did what we did. And, you know, you kind of alluded to people that may leave and have access to grind. I always say policing is like a high school football team, where you got people that this was the greatest time in their life. They have sometimes they don't have other things going on, and they can't let it go. They're still wearing their high school letter jackets, you know, and they don't want to see the team do any better than when they were there. And when, in fact, they probably actually helped get the team kind of ran into the dirt. Because like you said, when I came on the first year or the year prior to me coming, we had lost 16 officers, and a lot of them were just leaving. They're just going because they didn't like the culture here. And so
– and those are people – a lot of those are ones that you had invested the time and the money into training at the academy,
yes,
not people coming from other departments.
Right, yes.
So you have a huge investment in these people,
yes,
and they're just not sticking around.
Yeah, and I think, too, you got to treat your people inside the walls – right. And I think that's what we're doing right, which wasn't previously being done. There's some favoritism going on. People that should have been punished and not being punished and allowed to do stuff and run people off. And so that's one thing we've got right now, you know, and stuff. And people are coming or sticking around. And also people within our walls are bringing their family on, because now they say, I feel comfortable with them working here now. So we're doing what's right, despite what some people want to say, you know. And like I said, it's those old people wearing their 85 football jackets that are sitting there going, oh, we did it better, but no, you didn't.
Some of us couldn't wear those letter jackets 2 years after, and it had nothing to do with anything other than the fit,
right,
Jeff. That was me, not you.
Yeah, make no mistake, the media relation with police, it's good.
Right.
We work in partnership. If you need to get the word out that somebody's on the loose,
right,
we're happy to do that.
We talked about that.
But we're also a watchdog.
Well, we talked about that internally last week, and the fact is, you know, we're not out to release information that might destroy a case or be a problem. A lot of media always thinks the police is holding the police or officials, not just police. That's not fair.
Right.
But anybody official is holding back information, when the fact of the matter is sometimes you do have to hold back information.
Right.
If you're looking for a suspect, you don't want all of it out there. It's hard to be a watchdog but also to be a cooperating member.
Right. But, well, I think all we ask is just be fair.
Yeah.
You know, if you come in with your angle and you've already got your pre-canned idea of what your title is going to be, and before you ever speak to us, then you're probably not reporting in the best
interest.
Honestly,
when we found out you were a Sooner, we already had a
predestined. Yeah, get rid of him. Yeah.
I mean, it's like, really? The only thing worse could have been a Cornhusker coming in.
Yeah,
I mean,
crying out loud.
I don't know how much worse it could have been, but that's not. Let's talk about the makeup of the department now, just by looking at them. And I know I'm of a certain age now, but they look young.
They are. No, we are. You know, we're a very young department. And, you know, and that's not a bad thing, because society has changed so much. And it's not necessarily an age thing, but there's some people that are stuck in their way of thinking that they're inflexible.
Mm-hmm.
And so I remember one of my mentors, he's older than me. He retired about the same time as me. And he goes, am I too old to do this job? I said, it's all about the way you think, because you got to be fluid. Because the day of, like, I'm the police and I'm untouchable, and, you know, because there's cops that fall into that. There's, you know, you hear about this thin blue line. That's a real thing.
Oh, sure.
People go, because I'm a cop, and they start out with good intentions, I have all these pressures on me, I have all these responsibilities. You as citizens don't understand this, so I should get a little wiggle room whenever I do something wrong. And I think that grew in departments, especially around 2020, because the heat was a little stronger. I saw it where I came from. That was a big reason why I go, I don't know that I could do another 10 years here, because that kind of way of thinking started to grow.
I have to ask. Mm-hmm. Because of what happened in the last 10 years or so in society and how people started looking at police, has it affected the way officers do their jobs? You're in a situation, and I guess I come from the school of thought that if it's a volatile situation and you have to use force, and maybe you end up using a little more force than intended, but at the moment you don't know. You just know that it's either you or the perpetrator, whatever you want to call them, is there ever hesitation now? Ooh, I better not, or I'm going to be in trouble, or that would be my biggest fear.
No, I saw that after 2020, where officers would they would talk someone to death, you know, please get in the car. Yeah. And you saw that, you know, I think we're kind of getting away from that. I think, there's still that aspect where, you know, people, you know, we'll talk to officers about, hey, you probably should have went ahead and just handcuffed them. Because there's sometimes people, you can talk all day and they're not going to get talked in.
Right.
And so there's probably a little bit in the back of their mind. People go, oh, am I going to get sued? Am I going to be on the news?
Are you seeing it in younger officers that they're realizing, I got to do what I got to do?
I think, kind of back to the point of these younger officers, I think they get this fairness thing. Where the old generation was like, hey, I'm a cop. I told you to do whatever.
Sure.
Then whatever I give you, whatever, you know, force I use is justified, whatever, because you disobeyed me.
Right,
you know?
Right, right.
Where I think this younger generation's more about fairness and justice. I think they can figure that out probably better than my generation could.
Riley County PD, I heard them talking one time about their method of policing was called community policing, and they compared it to more military regimental departments. Do you know the differences between those, and how do you see our department stacking up today?
Well, I believe heavily in community policing because we serve the community, you know, when I say that, we serve the whole community, you know, and I think with that, the best way I can do it, where I came from, we had a very good community relationship where if you saw something wrong, you would call the police. And so that, for us, that's like having thousands of extra officers out there because we've got eyes everywhere. Because crime's happening right now that we're not finding.
Oh, sure.
And that's one thing that kind of surprised me when I got here. And so I made the statement that at some point in the past, we must have violated somebody's trust or something, because there's people that would rather take a picture of a crime or a homeless person doing something and send it to a commissioner or the media and go, look, the police isn't doing their job. We're like, I'm like, if that was really an issue, you would have called us to report it. So I think there's something that we need to fix, and I think some of that is community policing. We need to get out and where people feel comfortable calling us rather than letting this crime go unpunished just so you can get a I got you moment.
Well, you had the capacity, did you say 81 or 90? What's the capacity of your department?
We're 82 allotted.
82 allotted, yeah. And not all of those are filled.
No, we're sitting at 71.
And so I take that 71, I divide it by 3 shifts times 7 days, and I start coming up with a number that says you might have 4, 5 officers at a time on patrol.
Yeah, usually 6. Yes,
6
yes,
officers on patrol in a town of 48,000.
Yeah.
I do the math and say, I'm surprised you can't be all places at all times and see all things.
Right.
I don't understand. Why don't we have TV screens all over your car where you can see everything?
Right.
You have to count on people.
100%. 100%.
Have to.
You know, and like I said, that's where I think is us in law enforcement. We got to be open to the fact where, well, maybe we did something years ago that people go, well, I'm just going to quit and we're going to catch the police. I don't know what it is. I've asked around. No one's really.
Well, you gave
me
a ticket in 1993.
That was one
and
of
I'm
them.
I'm still upset
yes,
about
yes,
that.
Yes, that was the downfall of the SPD is when we crossed you. But, you know, like that, what we do, and that's why when we do community deals, I'm not about the dog and pony show.
Right.
And I've used this statement before because I've seen, especially in 2020, give me a minority kid, I'm going to hold him, and let me take a picture of him. All right, put him down, I'm going to walk away. No, I want to build some real relationships, and that's what we're doing. But when you build those, they take time. And two, we're not good about putting stuff out on social media. And we've talked, we need to get better about that because if we don't post it. I'm of the opinion I'm not going to post it because I don't want people likes or whatever.
Oh, sure.
Because that's not what we're doing it for. Sure. This is a relationship between you and or this other organization or this community we're working with. But maybe we need to start doing that better so people go, oh, okay, they are doing out stuff out in the community. Maybe and then invite us into their
area. What would be great if you get those organizations to do it, then it's not you self-promoting. Right. It's other people sure. going, look at what this is all about.
It takes time.
It does.
It takes time. Yes. And thanks for spending time with us. We're going to keep you over one more break. Stay there, folks. 8:52. Yeah, really. I want to know, hey, they knocked the jail down behind your building. I want to know if there's extra space coming your way. We'll talk to Chief Wise when we return on The Extra. Last lap around the track.
I can't believe we haven't talked about much about Bronco football.
I know. There's tomorrow.
We had more important things to talk about.
Bigger
today.
Fish to fry.
Hey, Jeff, you brought it up.
Yes,
I'm going to go down this path with you.
Do it.
With the Chief. I got this really beautiful, shiny new building going up out on Markley and Crawford. It's going to be gorgeous. I drive down it every day. It's going to be a wonderful firehouse.
Gorgeous new.
A city department with a brand new, shiny building. What are they doing for the police department?
I think they're going to send us pictures of that.
I love that. And say one day
your
ancestors will be able to be in a building like this.
So they're putting some money into our building. You know, we're refurbishing it. And we started in our basement because, man, our evidence was just horrible, horrible. Like, and so we're kind of expanding out down our basement, and then we're going to move up to the next floor, which is like our patrol floor. This is where our officers will see the benefit. We're going to knock out some walls and stuff like that because some of those guys, you know, like we talked about that wears the letter jackets around, I hear they're mad, but, oh, you took down our plaque that has our name on it.
Oh, no.
Well, we're going to repaint and stuff, and we're going to remove stuff around, so that's why that is.
Sure.
So, but we're going to, you know, we're knocking out some walls and adding some more office space down there, and then we'll go up to the third floor because – I don't know. You're welcome to come see my office. I think it used to be the old courthouse. And so it's cool. It's huge, but it's got like a 3/4 wall. And so if there's people in the conference room beside, I have to be really quiet.
Oh, no.
And there's times where they've done meetings and I'm sitting there trying to, I've got a cough. And I'm sitting there like about to kill myself, hiding my cough. And I'm trying to work and stuff. And so it's not the best fit.
Yeah.
And so we're going to move my office, you know, out and we're going to try to make that more of a training area and stuff like that. We're trying to maximize our space. Yeah, we're in the old building. And, yeah, I see that new building up there on the hill. Oh, my gosh.
It's probably going to be a lot of firefighters fighting for that.
Man, yeah. I can't wait to eat some cookies from there. But,
but I heard a theory as to why they do that. They need the shiny building for the fire department because they spend a lot of their time at the department. They live there. Police, they're out on the street. They don't need to be in a building. They need to be out patrolling. You still do need a good place to.
No, we do. And two, there's an aspect of recruiting to that. You know, when you're a brand new officer and you come walking in, you want to see a decent looking place.
You guys got one thing that's nice, new, and shiny, and that's that training facility down
south. Yeah,
I'm loving that.
No, that is. That's a huge piece. Is when we have bad weather, we can go shoot down there. You know, we still need to go shoot outside.
Oh yeah,
we
absolutely.
Can't, you know, in pristine conditions. Yeah, and also too, you know, our range only goes out to 25 yards. So this can, you know, we need to let our officers know that hey, your gun can go out past 25 yards. It has that capability and stuff. And also, whenever the sun's beating down on your sights and stuff like that, it's a little different shooting. You
How's
know?
Your score? How's your score, sir?
You know, I'm not a bad shot. I'm not going to lie, you know.
Well, I want you to pull up my son's records because he'll tell you he was the sharpshooter of the department. I said, you just couldn't hack the department. We've had that battle a few times. No, that's not true. Hey, thanks for joining
us. Thank you.
We hadn't had you on for a couple of years, and that's probably a couple of years
too long.
So we'll have you.
Anytime. You know, I appreciate you guys' integrity. You don't report off rumors, and you're straight up. And so I appreciate
that. Well, we try to have the facts. Yes. We don't pull it off the scanner and put it on the radio.
Well, I appreciate that greatly. Yeah.
And we don't report it off of Facebook only. Yes, that's for darn sure.
Well, thank you for that.
Chief Wise.
Well, now Jeff's been accused of that before. No, he's never been accused of that.
Salina Chief of Police, CJ Wise. Thanks for the visit.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Get home safe, and everybody get home safe tonight as well.
Thank you.